ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम Third Canto, Chapter 11, Calculation of Time from the Atom, Text 9, Dadashardha,
Dadashardha,
Falanmonam,
Falanmonam,
Chaturbhish,
Chaturbhish,
Chatur,
Chatur,
Angulai,
Angulai,
Swarna,
Swarna,
Mashai,
Mashai,
Krita,
Krita,
Chidram,
Chidram,
Jabat,
Jabat,
Prashta,
Prashta,
Jala,
Jala,
Plutam,
Plutam.
Dadashardha Palam Nanam,
Dadashardha Palam
Nanam, Dadashardha Palam Manam,
Dadashardha
Chaturbhish Chaturangulai,
Chaturbhish
Chaturangulai, Swarnamashai Krita Chidram,
Swarnamashai Krita Chidram,
Javat Prastha Jalaplutam,
Javat Prastha Jalaplutam,
Dadashardho Palanmanam,
Dadashardho Palanmanam,
Chaturbhish
Chaturangulai,
Swarnamashai Krita Chidram,
Swarnamashai Krita Chidram,
Javat Prastha Jalaplutam,
Javat Prastha Jalaplutam,
Dadashardha Palanmanam,
Dadashardha Palanmanam,
Chaturbhish Chaturangulai,
Chaturbhish Chaturangulai,
Swarnamashai Krita Chidram,
Swarnamashai Krita Chidram,
Javat Prastha Jalaplutam,
Javat Prastha Jalaplutam.
Dadashardha, six. Fala of the scale of weight. Unmanam, measuring pot. Chaturbhi, by weight of four. Chaturangulai, four fingers by measure. Swarna, of gold. Mashai, of the weight. Krita Chidram, making a hole. Javat, as long as. Prishta Prastha, measuring one Prastha. Jalaplutam, filled by water. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The measuring pot for one Nadika or Danda can be prepared with a 6 paul weight, 14 ounce pot of copper, in which a hole is bored with a gold probe, weighing 4 masha and measuring 4 fingers long. When the pot is placed on water, the time before the water overflows in the pot is called one danda. Please repeat. The measuring pot for one nadika or danda
can be prepared
with a 6 pala weight,
14
ounce pot of copper,
in which
a hole is bored with a gold probe, weighing 4 masa and measuring 4 fingers long. When the pot is placed on water, the time before the water overflows
in the pot
is called one danda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is advised herein that the bore in the copper measuring pot must be made with a probe weighing not more than 4 masa and measuring not longer than 4 fingers. This regulates the diameter of the hole. The pot is submerged in water, and the overflooding time is called danda. This is another way of measuring the duration of a danda. Just as time is measured by sand in a glass, it appears that in the days of the Vedic civilization, there was no dearth of knowledge in physics, chemistry, or higher mathematics. Measurements were calculated in different ways, as simply as could be done. Dadashardha palanmanam chaturbhish chaturanguloi sharnamashai krishat chidram jabat prastho jalaklitam. The measuring pot for one nadika or danda can be prepared with a 6 pala weight 14-ounce pot of copper, in which a hole is bored with a gold probe weighing 4 masha and measuring 4 fingers long. When the pot is placed on water, the time before the water overflows in the pot is called 1 danda. So, the calculation of time is being measured from the atom. The lowest consideration of time, the ultimate, the smallest consideration of time is from the atom. And yesterday while we were discussing that point, one point came up, that actually our consideration, the Vedic consideration of atom or paramanu, is not exactly the today's modern concept of atom. The paramanu has been translated into atom in English. But actually we can see that the paramanu is much more subtle and much more finer than the modern concept of atom. The modern concept of atom is simply dealing with gross solid substance, gross substance. It can be also solid, it can be liquid, but anything that has a volume, that is, which will actually be earth. The Vedic concept of earth and water and fire, air, ether is not completely in line with the modern concept of. Like, actually, what they are considering to be solid, liquid, and gaseous substance, is the earth in 3 different forms. When the earth is in a condensed form, it is solid. When the earth is in a little more diluted form, it is liquid, and when it is even in a more finer form, it is gaseous. An example is water. When it is ice, it is solid. When it is in normal condition, liquid, it's water. And when it becomes gaseous, then the same water is actually considered to be water vapor or gas. But Vedic concept of earth, water and air is not the same as that. It's a totally different substance. Like when the Vedas are talking about air, Vedas are not actually indicating carbon dioxide and nitrogen and hydrogen and so forth. What are the Vedas are talking about the air? What's the Vedic concept of air? The Vedic concept of air is pran, apan, saman, van and udan, about which the modern science doesn't have any knowledge whatsoever. Like, they think that when we are breathing, it is just oxygen intake. But the Vedic understanding is the five kinds of air are controlling the activities of the body. Oxygen is going in, but it is caused by prana. The respiratory system is actually functioned by pranavayu. And then there is apanavayu, evacuation, like urination, passing the stool and all that. The evacuation activities are controlled by the apanavayu. Then the nervous system is controlled by samanavayu. Then in this way, then there is saman, bhyan and udan. There are five types of air which is controlling the activities of the body, about which modern science doesn't have any knowledge. They think, they are thinking that there is earth. Actually what they are calling about earth is the gross substance in solid form. The grossest of all substance in solid form. Then water, the liquid form. All the things will be actually, like for example, hydrogen gas. Hydrogen, it's in a normally it's in the gaseous form. It's in gas. But when it is compressed under certain pressure and temperature, it becomes liquid. And then if they can increase the pressure and temperature, increase the pressure and lower the temperature, then they can also make solid, but they can't do that. So the point is that what they think to be gas or liquid or solid is the same substance in different conditions, different temperature and pressure. Like as I said, like water, below zero, it's solid. From 0 to 100, 1 to 100, it is liquid. And above 100, it is gas. So the point is that modern science doesn't really have any knowledge about the earth, water, fire, air and ether that the Vedas are speaking about. So we got the earth. We got water. Yes, water is a liquid substance. But liquid can be of various forms. Like it can be salt water, it can be sugar water, it can be pure water, it can be milk, it can be alcohol, it can be ghee. There are oceans like that. Sura, there is an ocean of alcohol. Sura, sarpi, there is an ocean of ghee. Similarly, there is an ocean of gold. Hataka, in the lower planetary system, in Tal or Atal planet, there is an ocean, there is a river flowing with gold. And the name of the river is Hataka. It's a liquid gold. So, the Vedic wisdom actually is so profound. We can see, that's why we have to take this wisdom seriously. The problem is that in India, which is the seat of this culture, this wisdom hasn't been taken seriously. Therefore, there is no study of the science. There is no education on this subject. Because, as I mentioned earlier, due to the British influence, the whole concept has been rejected, or mythology. It's not real, it's just, it's myth. It's a fairy tale, it's just some stories. And we can see today's Indians, due to 400 years of British rule, which is still going on, have become so badly contaminated in their mind that they can't even read this thing seriously, or they don't feel like probing into it. Like, there are people, those who are, again, when we discuss about that, then we can see that how Indian culture has been affected. The whole world's culture has been affected. Like, people don't study in order to learn. Today, the whole system of education is geared towards making money. People are studying simply to make money. If they could get money without studying, they would have taken that option. They are studying simply to make money. Like, say, for example, there are people making, there are Indologists, there are studying individuals, there is a department in the, they can study, say, for example, Srimad Bhagavatam. In the universities, there are faculties, they can study Srimad Bhagavatam. They study Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what is the purpose of their study? Say, for example, when they study those subjects, the purpose of the thing is simply to get a degree. And the reason and the objective is to simply pass the test. And therefore, they have to write the answers in a certain way. If they don't, then they won't pass the test. Okay, if one goes into research, the purpose of the research is simply to get the PhD. And if they don't line up with the academics, then they will not get the PhD. And why do they want a degree or a PhD? Because they want to go with that paper, with that piece of paper, and get a job. The purpose of this education is not to learn. If the purpose of the objective of the education was to learn, then they would have studied in a different way. They would have gone deeper into it. Like, as Prabhupada is pointing out, like, all the informations that are there, they can be lined up, they can be assessed with the modern concept. Okay, you have the concept of time, second, minutes, and so forth. And let us consider, like, it divides even second. The modern concept of time ends with second. But this concept of time goes so far beyond seconds. Like, why don't you make a calculation? Like, you know what a danda is. We got Paul, danda, then muhurta, and so forth. A muhurta is 48 minutes. One muhurta is, I think, 45 or 48 minutes. Is it 45 or 45 minutes. One muhurta is 45 minutes. Yeah, that's right. Two muhurtas is 1.5 hours. Brahma muhurta begins 1.5 hours before sunrise. Then here we have the concept of danda. So we can calculate it according to that. And they're giving a very, very simple way of measuring it. Although there is a finer ones are going into the calculation of the pulsation of an atom. We don't really know what it means, because the modern concept of atom is very different. As actually it came up, like, there was a question by Krishnarchan, that the Vedic concept, the atoms are of four kinds. Not only the atoms of the gross substance, there is atom of fire, the fiery atoms. Then there is the atoms of water, which is not just carbon, H2O. This is a different kind of concept. Atoms of, you know, concept of, these are the four substance, and there is a concept of atoms. Earth, water, fire, and air. And here we must understand one thing, or recognize one thing. Air is finer than fire. The air that we are talking about is finer than fire. Therefore, it's not obviously the gas that we are talking about. It's just prana, pan, saman, vayana, buddhana. And so here, we are getting the concept of danda. Ag danda. Danda is how many, does anybody remember? How many minutes make a danda? danda, paul, muhurta. These are the conceptions. So they are giving the time concept of danda. Take a 14 ounce of measurement, liquid. 14 ounce of water in a copper pot. Why copper pot? Because the density of copper is here we are talking about. Then take 4 muscles of gold and stretch it to 4 inches. 4 fingers, which is 2 inches. Now the thickness that you will get, make a hole with that on that pot. Now place the pot on water. The amount of time it will take to fill up, that is one danda. So does it sound like fairy tale? If it's fairy tale, then why don't you experiment and see if it makes sense, whether it actually complies with that concept, whether this is that concept of time. So this is the wisdom that we have, and instead of being proud of this wisdom, we're just discarding it. Oh, it's mythology. Why? Because our Prabhus, the Sahibs, have told us. The Englishman came to India and they taught that these are all fairy tales. Therefore, even India has become independent for over 60 years now, but still India's mentality still has remained of the slave of the British. British left India, but India didn't become free from the slavery of the British. Because that is how badly they damaged the system, the culture. Because the education system has been completely corrupted by them. And we are still following that same educational system. Therefore, that education system has to be altered, has to be changed. The Vedic education system has to be introduced. Srila Prabhupada started that mission. That's why his books. The books are, and that's why Prabhupada gave so much emphasis. We may not be able to change the whole education system, but individually people are going to become affected by his books. And we are seeing, how does one become a devotee? What's the consequence of reading Prabhupada's books? When somebody reads Prabhupada's books, what happens? Your whole mentality changes. You become a devotee. That's how powerful these books are. We see actually most of the devotees, actually educated individuals, have become members of ISKCON, have become devotees just by reading Prabhupada's books. So this is the beginning. Distribute this knowledge through Prabhupada's books. And then gradually what will happen? The education system will change. The whole education system will change. And that's what we have to do. Preaching means educating people. Preaching is not just going and telling people that, you know, how wonderful it is to be a Hare Krishna devotee. The preaching is to educate them with the understanding. Like, do you believe that there is a reality beyond this material? The way Prabhupada would put it, what's the difference between a dead body and a living body? Let's start from there. What is the difference between a living individual and dead matter? It's common sense. Let's figure out the difference between the seat and me. What's the difference? And at some point when I'll die, the body will be lying here, then what will be the difference between that dead body and when I was alive? That is the beginning of this knowledge. What is the difference between a dead matter and a living body? Obviously, it will come to the point that the presence of the soul. Then let's study what the soul is. The informations are there, the books are there, and the teachers are there. So let's make a systematic study of the soul. And then a whole new horizon will open up. The soul, the way it's functioning, it doesn't look like it functions like matter. Rather, it functions completely in a different way. diametrically opposed to the qualities of matter. The soul is so different from matter that it changes matter into spirit. The body made of matter, due to the presence of the soul, becomes alive. And does the living body function like matter? Does the living body display the qualities of matter? No. The living body rather defies all the characteristics of matter. Although the body is made of matter, but it doesn't function like matter. It functions in a totally different way. So that is due to the presence of the soul. So if the soul can induce this dead body with so much life, can you imagine how alive the soul is? If the soul can make this dead matter conscious, can you imagine how conscious the soul is? And where does the soul come from? What is the characteristics of the soul? Where is the origin of the soul? And when you go probe into that science, probe into that subject matter, then we get the information. The soul comes from the spiritual sky. So it proves another thing, that beyond this material nature there is a spiritual reality. And we all came from the spiritual sky. And what is the nature of the spiritual sky? The spiritual sky is eternal, just like the soul is eternal. The spiritual sky is fully conscious, just as the soul is conscious. And the spiritual sky is full of bliss, just as the soul is full of bliss. And in the spiritual sky, there are living entities. There are many souls, and they all are living entities. In the spiritual sky, everything is living, everything is alive. In the material nature, some entities are living and some objects are inert. There is this duality. But in the spiritual sky, everything is alive. That is the nature of the spiritual sky. And the origin, the center of the spiritual sky is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is controlling everything. Who is the origin of everything, and who is the shelter of everything, and is controlling everything. And He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Controller. Therefore, we must surrender unto Him. He is the controller, we are controlled. By nature, we are controlled. But because we tried to become a controller, therefore we have been thrown into this nature, where we are trying to get an opportunity, a chance to control, to try to control. But what's happening? The more we are trying to control, the more difficult it's becoming. The more we try to control, the more we suffer. Actually, the purpose of our action is joy. We want to enjoy. Like everything we do is for the sake of enjoyment. But in the material nature, the more we are trying to enjoy by controlling, instead of enjoyment, we are getting sufferings. So that is the punishment. That is the method, that is the process by which our defective mentality is being rectified. You are trying to enjoy. You are trying to control. You are trying to enjoy by controlling. But see what's happening. You're trying to control in order to enjoy, but what are you getting? You're getting suffering. Therefore, don't try to become the controller. Rather, become controlled by the Supreme Personality of God, the Supreme Controller. He is the controller. You are not controller. You're controlled. You are not the Lord and Master. He is the Lord and Master. You're the eternal servant. So become situated in your constitutional position. Don't try to control, rather become controlled. Don't try to become the enjoyer. Don't try to become the Lord, but become the servant. And when you become the servant, when you become controlled by Him, when you surrender yourself to Him, then what happens? Then yes, everything becomes joyful. suffering disappears and life becomes full of joy. So that is the simple principle that will take us back to our spiritual identity, to our constitutional position. Yes, so we want to go back to our original situation. So here it is, the sum and substance of the Vedic understanding, that there is a difference between matter and spirit. Matter is inert, the spirit, soul, is living. The spirit soul came from the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Controller, and all the spirit souls, because they are His parts and parcels, are subordinate to Him. And there in the spiritual sky, everyone is serving that Supreme Master. There everyone is allowing himself to be controlled by the Supreme Controller. And that is the qualification that is necessary to become situated in the spiritual sky. Therefore, make an effort to go back to the spiritual sky. Don't waste your time here. And how not to waste your time here? Surrender unto Him. Fine, you are in the material nature. Doesn't matter. Here also you can surrender unto Him. Here also you are subjected to the condition of your body. Doesn't matter. Use this body in His service. Just use whatever you have in His service. That's the qualification. You have your body, you have your mind, you have whatever you have. You have your money, you have your house, you have your family, you have everything. Just use that in His service. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you will see what happens. How He takes charge of you, takes care of you. There, then your situation becomes like a person who is being taken care of by the most powerful, most opulent, and most capable individual. We are being controlled, we should be directed, we should be guided, we should be controlled by that Supreme Personality. And when we allow Him to control us, then everything becomes perfect. And whatever we do becomes a source of joy. Because then, through our activities, we become connected to the Supreme Enjoyer. Because we are connected to the Supreme Enjoyer, we also enjoy. He is enjoying, and we are connected to Him, so we also enjoy. Now, how do we enjoy? That you have to experience yourself. But at least you can see, we are not, we don't look that miserable. We dance. We are dancing. Devotees dance, devotees chant, devotees live such a happy life. They don't have to worry about anything. Do you have to worry about anything? Do you have to worry about where the food is going to come from? Do you have to worry about where the money is going to come from? Do you have to, maybe the individuals who are in the managing position, they have to worry about it, but they are also not worried. Sometimes people think that I must be so worried because I have to make so many arrangements. But I can tell you, I'm not worried at all. Because I am seeing how He is arranging everything. He is arranging everything. Of course, He doesn't drop everything from the sky. It comes through some medium, through some... but it happens. Like, I have seen, like, I embarked on many projects costing millions of dollars. And it came. Although I didn't have anything. I didn't bring anything with me. So they came. Where did they come from? Krishna gave. Krishna gave. So this is how Krishna takes care. I mean, He is there, so why can't He take... I mean, if He is there, and if He is the Supreme Controller, and if we are serving Him, why should He worry? He is taking care. So Prabhupada said that the realization will come according to the degree of our surrender. The more we surrender, the more awakening will be our, more realization will come from. Where they'll come from? They'll come from within. You surrender, and to that extent, the realization will come. Realization means Krishna's presence. Realization is just Krishna, awareness of Krishna. So you surrender, and that awareness comes from within. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Krishna Achan.
Nonal, three questions. First is that prana vayu and the vayus which are in the body, although they are different from the gas as such, do they not have a very close relation with what is called the gaseous substance? Because the pranavayu is there, but we are inhaling what is called gas. So is there no such a relation?
Yeah, it's vayu. Yeah, it's vayu. Gas, yeah. Yeah.
But if it's there, then how is it different?
The difference is, it's not that substance that vayu is. Say for example, pranavayu is not just oxygen. It's something more, much more subtle than oxygen. Its function is displayed in the form of that vayu, that oxygen. Its function is functioning is manifested in the form of inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide.
And this is related to this translation that it said that the stick weighing so much should be used to pour the horn. So the length may be understood, the length and the diameter of that boring stick can be understood, but what does it have to do with the weight?
Weight of?
Weight of the
gold?
The gold.
Yeah, because the weight will actually determine the length and the diameter. When, you see, weight is the mass, right? The mass is determining the weight is determining the mass of gold, right? So when that is stretched to four fingers, the diameter that will be that it will have is that diameter. If the weight differed, then the diameter will also differ. Now one question actually came to the back of my mind when I was going through this verse, that four muscles stretched up to four fingers. Then I was considering, why didn't they measure it according to, say, one muscle stretched to one finger? But then I considered that probably it won't be long enough to penetrate through that. So, I mean, whatever they did, I mean, has their very, very systematic reason behind it.
And,
Prabhupada,
like you were saying that this understanding that is presented in the Bhagavad Gita should be presented in a way that is, I mean, through modern science it can be demonstrated. So is it necessary to endeavor to demonstrate things like these and many other things which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam? But most of them are not really, at the present moment we are able to demonstrate those things. We are not able to, because many of the things are very, very subtle and things like that. Still, should we try to demonstrate all that?
Not all that, whatever will make sense, just demonstrate that. Whatever will make sense, whatever is practically demonstrable, do that. Yes?
First from Guru Varanda Prabhu, how important is the understanding of Vedic times and cycles?
Well, ultimately the time is constant, right? Like ultimate consideration of time is constant. But the thing is, like here we are going into such subtle concept of time. So this way we can prove the the supremacy of the Vedic culture. That is the thing. Like, you have developed a concept of time. Your concept of time has been derived from the movement of the earth, the rotation of the earth, which is causing a day, a night. Now you divided that into 24 hours, and so forth. But here we have another concept of time, right? Which is beginning from the pulsation of an atom. So now we can bring a co-relationship between those two and make them understand that the supremacy of the Vedic wisdom. Ultimately, actually everything, all the knowledge actually came from the Vedas. The original source of knowledge was the Vedas that began at the time of creation, that dawned at the time of creation, given by Krishna himself. But now what they did, instead of taking that spiritual origin of knowledge, they are trying to derive a material origin of knowledge. And that is the problem. They are trying to say matter is everything. They are in total defiance to the existence of soul. But they themselves are stuck with, you know, certain questions. What is consciousness? Yes, physics has made so much development. Medical science has made so much development. Yes, good. But through your science, why don't you define consciousness? Where does consciousness come from? You are saying it's a chemical reaction. The chemical reaction may be the outcome of the functioning of consciousness. But that doesn't mean that chemical reaction is the cause of consciousness.
Should we be bothered what people are thinking about us? Should we accept healthy criticism in order to rectify ourselves?
We should. Actually, it doesn't matter what others are thinking about us. Rather, we should be concerned about them. We should think about them and bring some sanity. Like, say, for example, like when you go to a madhouse, when you go to a lunatic asylum, do you worry about how the mad people are looking at you and thinking about you? Do you? But you feel compassion for them. Oh, these people are insane. How can we rectify their madness? How can we make them normal? So our situation is not like is like that. Like, we are not worried about what they are thinking about us, because we know that they are a bunch of madcaps. They are a bunch of lunatics. And so we are not worried about how these mad people are looking at us, but we are concerned about these mad people and try to bring sanity to them. And that's why we have to preach. Like, another example can be, like, when a doctor goes to treat a patient, does he worry about how the patients are looking at him? Rather, he is not concerned about how the patient is looking at him. Rather, he is concerned about the condition of the patient and cure him. Yeah.
Next question from Guru Parampara again. Srila Prabhupada wanted temple of Vedic planetarium. Does this mean the understanding of time, or it is more on the structure of the universe? It seems the time is easier to present than the structure of the universe.
You see, the Vedic planetarium, I mean, when it is properly established, will deal with everything, because everything is interrelated. Like, you can't, you know, when you set up the planets, you have to show the time, that space, the distance between different planets. Right? Vedas are giving that information. Then the time is again relative to the movement, that it's been pointed out in this. The movement of the bodies are actually the determining factor of time. Like, as we know that the movement of earth is causing the concept of day. The movement of moon is causing the concept of months. The movement of sun is causing the concept of year. So it's actually, ultimately, it's all a matter of movement of different bodies. And the different bodies' movement has a direct relationship with time.
Is the danda relevant to position of planet? That is, danda in moon is longer than earth.
What's that?
Is danda.
Danda. Well, well, maybe the residents of moon have their concept of danda, but at least, you know, in earth planet, the concept of danda is the same everywhere. You see, like for example, when you go to heavenly planet, you know, there you'll have your concept of day and night and so forth. But when you are on earth planet, then the concept is the same. Our day comprises of 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. But when you go to the heavenly planet, then it will be 6 months and 6 months. 6 months day, 6 months night. Now if you go to moon planet, yes, there also you'll get the same concept of time in relation to moon planet. So wherever you are, the concept of time will be relative to that situation.
Again, from Guru Varaha Prabhu, in Vedas it is mentioned that day is divided into 60
nadis,
yeah, which are 24 minutes, and each 2.5 nadi is equal to 1 hour or 4 hours. So it seems they are from 60 minutes of 24 minutes of 60.
Right, yeah. Like that, exactly. That's what Srila Prabhupada was suggesting. That we can take our concept of time and, you know, like we can translate it in the modern concept of time. As you were saying, like we may call it danda and pal and muhurta and so forth. And the Vedic, the modern concept can be minute, hours and time, a minute, hours and second. But, you know, it can be very easily translated because we are dealing with the same principle. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes.
The weight of the copper pot is given here as 14 ounces, but the thickness of the copper pot is not said. Then how can we determine the volume of the copper pot? With 14 ounces of copper, a small pot of more thickness can be made, or a large pot of less thickness can
I think
be made.
Here the 14 ounces is not the copper pot. The volume of water. The copper pot that will contain
14 ounces.
Yeah. But I'm sure there has to be some concept of the weight also. It's a good point. Because if the weight of the copper pot is heavier, then the water coming in will be affected by that weight. The faster it will go. The water will go faster. So that concept of time must be there also. But sometimes what happens, because the system is so well known, that just by giving one indication, you know, they understand what you're talking about.
So well, it's not related to the class. I just wanted to ask a question regarding the Agapur class that we conduct. Actually, daily we recite the verse first and then the word meaning in the translation. But then when we recite the verse, we don't know what it means. So it's very difficult to remember. So if we could first understand the word meaning in the translation, then when we recite the verse, we know what exactly we are reciting.
Right.
So maybe, I don't know.
Well, this system has been introduced by Srila Prabhupada, the way the books are there. You know, the thing is that Prabhupada obviously didn't expect that you just read the books only during the Bhagavatam class. After the class, you study it. So everybody, read it again after the class and try to go deeper into that topic.
Text 8.
What happened?
Seven.
Oh, I see. Oh, I skipped that because that didn't have any point. Loguni boi saman samam nata dasho pancha cha nadika te dve muhurta prahara Shad Yama Shaptoba Nrinam. 15 laghus make one nadika, which is also called a danda. 2 dandas make one muhurta, and 6 or 7 dandas make 1/4 of a day or night, according to human calculation. So again, this concept of time, they are giving the very concept of time.
Sorry to say this, but like Srila Prabhupada gave this system of reading the verse and then the translation. But we, as long as we are doing all these things, is it wrong if we just do the word-to-word meaning first and then the verse?
The tendency will naturally be to read it the way Srila Prabhupada gave it. Right. Now, you know, there are things to do, things can be done. Why not read the verse beforehand? Why do you have to just read it only at that time? Why not before and after? Okay. Actually, when I was teaching devotees how to memorize verses, then I used to read the thing first, the word for word meaning, and then the understanding of the verse, because then it helps to remember. Yes, you should do that. But generally, when you're giving the class all over, this has been the system. Therefore, we don't generally want to change the system that Srila Prabhupada gave. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Go, Premanande.